ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय।
Once again, announcement for everyone to kindly put your cell phones on silent. You can use it, just keep it on silent. Just a short recap from yesterday. The topic was, Who am I? The science of soul. Is there life after this life? Is there life after death? The science of reincarnation. And we understood the real identity of ourselves, which is we are eternal spirit soul, not temporary material bodies. Based on using common sense, intuitive understanding, some scientific studies which are going on, like near-death experiences, out-of-body experiences, past life memories, etc. And after understanding that our real identity is that we are spirit souls, which is eternal, which is all blissful, which is all knowledgeable, which is eternal, conscious. Now, the next question which comes is, then why am I suffering? If I am Sachit Ananda, if that is my feature as eternal spirit soul, I am Sachit Ananda, then why this Sachit Ananda soul is in so much dukkha? And especially when I haven't done anything bad as far as I remember in this life. So, why do bad things happen to good people? Also, vice versa, the question which will be answered along with this question, why good things are happening to bad people? So, both questions will be, hopefully, will be answered tonight. Now, this particular title, which appears to be very catchy, I guess on the very first day when we had that slide, topics to be covered, the one topic which caught your eye most might have been this one. Of all the topics, the one topic which might have caught your eye might have been this one. Now, this is a book. This is title of a book. And when I saw this book, I thought I should make a presentation on this topic because the title appeared to be very catchy to me at the very first place when I saw. Now, this book was written by this gentleman. This is the cover page of the book. This gentleman named Mr. Harold Kushner, as you can read over here. So this is the book which he wrote, When Bad Things Happen to Good People. If you can read, it says, the inspirational number one bestseller, over 4 million copies sold when it was released. Now something about the author of this book, Mr. Harold Kushner. This Harold Kushner, he was a very God-fearing person. In fact, he was a rabbi in the Jewish tradition. Just like in our Hindu tradition, we have Pujari or Pandit ji, Maulvi is there in the Muslim tradition. the priest is there in the Christian tradition. Similarly, those who are priest kind of people in the Jewish tradition, they are called rabbis. So he was a rabbi, which means full time. The only thing which he was doing was praying to God, preaching about God, so on and so forth. Everything about his whole life was all centered around his God. And he is the one who wrote this book. Now what happened in his life? That is interesting to know. His 7-year-old son died of this very peculiar disease called progeria. I don't know whether you know about this very peculiar disease, progeria. You know? Progeria is a disease wherein one starts to prematurely age. Say if one is 7-year-old, then there are symptoms in one's body of that someone who is 70 years old. It's called progeria. So, Harold Kushner's son died of progeria when he was only 7 years old. And Harold Kushner, he couldn't take this shock of his life. Is sadme ko ye shakhs bardasht nahi kar paaye. So he started to think and rethink that what am I doing? Why did God this to me? And forget about me, to my 7-year-old son who was pure, who was innocent, who was sinless. Mere bete ke saath Bhagwan ne aisa kyon kiya? Aur vishesh roop se main jo ki unki itni puja kar raha tha. Especially me. I was not like any other materialistic person engaged into sinful activities. I have been living a pure life, God-fearing life. Why did God do this to me, to my family, to my son? 7-year-old my son died of this disease. Now there was another person. This person, his 14-year-old child died of cholera. I had mentioned few sessions ago. His 14-year-old child died of cholera, and he was a devout Christian, as Harold Kushner was a Jew. So this person was a devout Christian, and when his 14-year-old child died of cholera, he turned into an atheist. And we know him very, very famous person, Charles Darwin. So the Darwinian theory came up after his 14-year-old kid died of cholera. Before that, he was a devout Christian. So this book, just the gist of this book, what Harold Kushner has written in this book is very interesting. So we'll just take the conclusion of this book first, because the topic is the same. So the conclusion of this book, Mr. Kushner, he says that God has many qualities, like we took the word Bhagavan. Bhagavan is the possessor of all the opulences, all the attributes. So herein, let's look into some of the qualities which God possesses according to Harold Kushner. So herein, God is called as omniscient and omnipotent. You know the meaning? Omniscient and omnipotent. Omniscient means all-knowing. Sarvagya. Sanskrit mein isko sarvagya bolte. Omniscient, which means he knows everything. Omnipotent means sarva-shaktiman. He is almighty. We took that word. So that is omnipotent. So here in Harold Kushner is saying that God might be omniscient. He knew that my son is going to die of this disease, but he might not be omnipotent. Ki sab gun unke andar shayad nahi hai. Okay, now the difference between Harold Kushner and Charles Darwin. Charles Darwin became an atheist, but Harold Kushner didn't become atheist. But he struck a compromise between theism and atheism. He was in between. He struck a compromise between theism and atheism. In this book, he says that God is not what we think or what we define God as. He has his limitations. Bhagavan bhi bechara hai. Hamari tarah lachar hai. Unki bhi kamiyan hai. So here, and that's what he is concluding. You know, he's like feeling pity on God in this book. So he says, God might be omniscient but not omnipotent. Something is missing because of which he couldn't protect my son. Then further he says, if we take that he is all powerful or omnipotent, but he might not have merciful heart. He might be omniscient also, he might be omnipotent also, par daya nahi hai shayad. Daya maya nahi hai is Bhagwan ke andar. Isliye to mera 7 varshiya putra maar dala usne. Daya nahi hai. Nirdayi, nirdayi. Further, even if we take that he is merciful, but again not omniscient, something is missing. Just like in government office, you know, sometimes your files, your application goes missing, like that. So he is managing the universal government. To mere bete ki file miss ho gayi hogi. Like that. So the conclusion of this book, he says, we have put unlimited faith on a limited God. Humne bahut hype kar diya hai Bhagwan ko. Ki wo hai, ye sab kuch kar sakte hai. Nahi, lekin mere anusar wo Bhagwan limited hai. We have put unlimited faith on the limited God. He is also one amongst like us. So now, it's a very faulty understanding, by the way. Because he didn't know that the law of karma, how it works in everyone's life, which is the answer to the questions when bad things happen to good people or why bad things happen to good people. So, what happens is, people, whenever anything bad happens in their life, including all of us now sitting in this hall, should be honest. Whenever anything bad has happened in our life, we immediately point fingers, start playing the blame game. Have you heard of this game? It's called the blame game. Blame game means, iske wajah se hua, uske wajah se hua. It's because of, my boss. It's because of my husband, my wife, because of the neighbor. Aur agar koi nahi mila ungli dikhane ke liye to ungli jati hai upar. So we start blaming situation, place, circumstance, people, time factor, finally God. Koi nahi mila, make God the punching bag. Keep punching him. I'll tell you this real life story of one family. This family from Scotland, very religious, devout Christian family from Scotland, and they had planned that they will work for a few years, earn enough money, and then go and settle in America. So everything, livelihood was earned religiously, honestly, very, devout Christians, this family. And they were all set to finally lock, stock, barrel, go to America, settle in America from Scotland. So they were booked on a ship. And it so happened that just 1 week before their bond voyage, the son, he was bit by a rabid dog. So he was quarantined. Quarantined. He was not allowed to go to America because he had rabies. Of course, later on he got cured, but the family missed the ship. They had put so much money and, you know, for the ticket and everything. So this person, the father of the family, he started to blaspheme God like anything. Jesus Christ, God, that what the hell are you? I whole my life I served you, whole my life I worshipped you, and when I really wanted one of my dreams to be fulfilled, ye kutte ko bhej ke katwana tha mere bete ko. You couldn't save my son from that rabid dog. He went to the church and he was abusing God like anything, blaspheming God like anything. And just the day of the journey when he was supposed to go, after that, few weeks after that, he went to the same church and he started to plead guilty for whatever he said. He started to beg forgiveness. I'm so sorry, whatever I said. But I know that you helped me. He was booked on Titanic. So, when bad things happen, we immediately point finger at God. But how many times has it happened that when good things are happening, we again go to God for that? I'll give you a very, very interesting example in this regard. I don't know how many of you knew him. He's no more. He was one time Wimbledon champion. You know Wimbledon? Arthur Ashe. So Arthur Ashe, he contracted AIDS and he died of that disease. And during his time, he was like the top seed and he was so famous. He had so many fans and following all the tennis stars. I used to love his game so much, Arthur Ashe. So what happened was, Arthur Ashe received many letters from his fans when it was announced that he's not going to live more than few months because fatal disease, this AIDS. So many of his fans, they wrote to him letters. And one of the fan, he asked this question to Arthur Ashe, that you are such a talented champion tennis player. Why did God choose you for this disease? अरे इतने निकम में घूम रहे हैं इस पृथ्वी में उनको दे देते. Why did God choose you? You are such a nice person. Why such a bad thing happened to you, Mr. Arthur Ashe? So in reply, so many letters he had received, but he replied to this one letter. And very interestingly, the way he replied to this letter, let's see. He said, my dear friend, I am in receipt of your letter and I would like to answer your question. Your question was, why you? See that question? Why you? Why did God choose you for this disease? So he replied, said, every year 50 crore human beings, they begin to play tennis every year. All over the world, these many human beings, they begin to play tennis. Out of those 50 crore, 5 lakh only, they learn how to play. Out of those 5 lakh, only 50,000 learn professional tennis playing. Out of those 50,000, only 5,000 enter the Grand Slam. You know, the Australian Open, US Open, Wimbledon, French, like that. Out of those 5,000, only 50 qualify for Wimbledon. Only 4 reach the semi-finals of the Wimbledon, only 2 reach the finals, and only 1 holds the trophy. And that year he was holding the trophy. So he replied asking the question, why me? I am asking the same question to God as what you are asking to God, that out of 50 crore that year, why did God choose me to hold the trophy of Wimbledon? जब हमको लॉटरी लगती है, मान लो किसी को 1 करोड़ की लॉटरी लग गई, क्या क्या हमने खाली टिकट खरीदा है ना? एक टिकट कितने का होता है पता नहीं, 500 रुपया है, 1,000 कितने का टिकट होगा, लेकिन लॉटरी लगी 1 करोड़ की। कभी हम जाते हैं भगवान के पास आके, भगवान मुझे क्यों चुना? हाँ, अरे मेरे पड़ोसी को चुन लेते, मेरे बॉस को चुन लेते, मुझे क्यों चुना? ये पूरे नासिक में इतने हैं, लाखों नागरिक हैं, उनमें से मुझे क्यों चुना? हाउ मेनी टाइम्स वी आस्क दैट क्वेश्चन टू गॉड? व्हेन गुड थिंग्स हैपन वी गो एंड व्हाई डिड यू चूज मी फॉर दिस वंडरफुल जॉब, फॉर दिस लॉटरी, फॉर व्हाटएवर? सो आर्थर एश, दैट्स हाउ ही रिप्लाइड टू दैट क्वेश्चन, दैट व्हाई me. Now, Bhagavad Gita talks of 5 subject matters. Ishwara, Jeev, Prakriti, Kal and Karma. How many topics we have covered in 4 days? Out of these 5, how many topics have we covered? We have covered only first 2 topics. Who is God? Who am I? Ishwara and Jeev, living entity and God. And tonight, we are going to cover the other three. We are going to cover Prakriti, Kal and Karma. So in order to understand why bad things happen to good people, we have to understand the law of karma. And in order to understand the law of karma, we have to understand the time factor. We have to understand prakriti. Prakriti means this material creation in which we live. So, in order to properly understand the law of karma, we'll first understand this material creation in which we live, the time factor which oversees this material creation, and then what is the law of karma. So bear this in mind. Tonight we are going to discuss these 3, Prakriti, Kal and Karma. Now to begin with, this material world is said that it is just ekapad vibhuti. It is just 1/4 of the entire creation of Lord Krishna. So, herein, why I am giving you this proportion or this dimension of this material world, we'll soon find out. Again, the question remains, okay, even if it is 1/4 of the creation, why the world is so messy? Why the world is so miserable? Why the first day we discussed that I don't want misery but I get, I want happiness but I don't get. Why all these things happening? दुनिया बनाने वाले क्या तेरे मन में समाई? काहे को ऐसी दुनिया बनाए जिसमें मुझे तकलीफ हो रही है? So why the world is so messy? To answer this question, let's take up an exercise. Now, the question which you can read over here, you are in the planning committee, planning out a city. So, the question over here which is asked, what are the facilities you will be considering before planning a city? Transportation. Electricity, water supply, hospitals, schools, parks, market areas, residential areas, hospitals, a Are we missing out something? Okay, temple. Anything else you are missing out? Law and order. Law and order. Required? Law and order is required? How about prison? Will we plan out? Or no? Will that be in the list? That erecting hospitals, no? You all agree? You will plan out a prison before the criminals go inside. Huh? Already the prison will be erected, na? Kaidi jaane se pehle jail banayenge na? Ki usne khoon kar diya abhi, are jail hi nahi banaya, bhool hi gaya. Chalo, isko ek mahina judge ke ghar pe rakhte hain, tab tak jail banate. So beforehand, even before the criminals are incriminated into the prison, you will plan out a prison in a city, a well-planned city. Now the question is the government merciless to plan out a prison? Would you call the government merciless? Yes or no? But prison is all just misery. Within a prison, it's all just misery, trouble, punishment. And it's all government funded. The policemen over there, the police department, the jailer, the watchman, the security, the food, the clothing, everything funded by the government. So one can say that बहुत निर्दयी है ये सरकार, जेल बनाया. So my question is, who is responsible for the making of that jail? हाँ, the criminals, is it not? Government is just facilitator. Ultimately, who is responsible for the making of the prison? The criminals. According to the demand, the supply. You know, demand and supply. Like that. So herein, material world is compared to prison. Welcome. Now, in Sanskrit, prison is also called Durga. Like Durga, another meaning of Durga is fort, just like you have Sindhu Durga, Vijay Durga, a fort. So Durga, if you break up this Sanskrit word, Ga means to come out, like Gachati. Ga means to come out, and Dur means impossible to come out or difficult to come out. So Durga. So this material world is called Durga, which means it's like prison house. Easy to get in, not easy to come out. And who is the jailer? Durga Devi. Why her name is Durga? Because she is the jailer of this prison house, of this material world. So therefore her name is Durga, because she is the Adhishtatra Devi of Durga, this material world, which is compared to prison house. Then the jailer punishes the prisoner with threefold miseries. You remember? Misery is caused by one's own body and mind. Misery is caused by natural disturbances. Misery is caused by other living entities. So these three, they are compared to the Trishul. The Trishul of Durga Devi or Lord Shiva is compared to inflicting the miseries on the criminals of this material world with that. So you must be feeling very much surprised and appalled, discouraged maybe. मतलब आपका कहने का हम कह दिए, हम भी तो इस भौतिक संसार में ही रह रहे हैं. इफ दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड वी हैव एस्टैब्लिश्ड इज लाइक अ प्रिजन हाउस, देन हु आर वी? हु लिव्स इन अ प्रिजन हाउस? नाउ वी केम फ्रॉम द स्पिरिचुअल वर्ल्ड, जस्ट लाइक द क्रिमिनल्स हु गो टू द प्रिजन हाउस, फ्रॉम वेयर डू दे कम? अपने घरों से ही जाते हैं ना. आजाद रह रहे थे पहले, तो वहां से गए, कोई उन्होंने अपराध किया उसकी वजह से गए. सो वी वर ऑल विथ कृष्णा अवर सुप्रीम फादर, दैट वॉज अवर रियल होम, वैकुंठ. यू मस्ट हैव हर्ड ऑफ वैकुंठ. सो वैकुंठ वॉज अवर रियल होम. वी डिड सम न्यूसेंस देयर, सम नॉनसेंस वी डिड, एंड बिकॉज ऑफ विच वी वर put over here in this material world. So that's the beginning of we coming into this material world. Now what we did, that's another question. What was our crime? Our crime was that rather than following the laws of the spiritual world, we wanted to become Bhagavan. We wanted to throw out Krishna. And we wanted to become Krishna. So wanted to become independent of God. In the Bhagavad Gita, there is a verse in which Krishna explains about this particular fact. Ichha dvesha samuthena dvandva mohena bharata. That we had this ichha, and then that ichha turned into dvesha. What was the ichha? That why Krishna is only God? Why not me? And hence, there was dvesha for Krishna, and we started to act contrary to the laws of spiritual world when we were there. So we wanted to become independent. To give you an example, like sometimes you see small children, when they see a little girl sees the mother cooking, so she goes to the mother in the kitchen and she demands that, today I want to cook, give me the utensils, give me the ingredients, today I will cook. And she's a little girl, she can't even reach, you know, that platform, cooking platform, but she wants to, and she's adamant, no, I want to cook like you, mother. And the mother, she said, no, you can't imitate me. So what the mother does, okay, tomorrow you can cook like me. So she brings a toy kitchen kit. What you see over here is a toy kitchen kit. You must have also brought for your children. Chota sa pressure cooker, chota sa cylinder, like that. And the little girl, having this toy kitchen kit, becomes so satisfied. Oh, I have my own kitchen now. And you see small children, they are engrossed. Ki abhi cooker mein maine dal chadhaya, abhi ye kiya hai, like that, engrossed. So the mother is doing the actual cooking in the actual kitchen, and the child is imitating the actual cooking in the toy kitchen kit. So similarly, we were in the spiritual world, we told to Krishna, I want to, give me the flute, I want to do Rasleela, I want to imitate you. Krishna said, no, you can't, because you are my part and parcel. No, but we were adamant, no, I want to. So just like, you know, to satisfy the small child, the mother brought the toy kitchen kit. Similarly, Krishna created this world. Okay. So this material world is what? Imitation of the spiritual world. Just like toy kitchen kit is the imitation of the real kitchen kit. But the problem is, very big problem. What is the big problem? That you can't cook anything. Hai na? प्रेशर कुकर है, सिलेंडर भी है, गैस भी है, मतलब स्टोव भी है, लेकिन कुछ पक नहीं रहा है. है ना, कुछ पक नहीं रहा है. सो इन दिस मटीरियल वर्ल्ड वी हैव कम विथ अवर टॉय. Just like now, this is not working. So, similarly, material world also, we try to become God, but doesn't work. So, then what happens is that the child is engrossed in cooking for 2 hours. But after 2 hours, the child becomes hungry. So, when the child becomes hungry, then what the child does is, cries for the real food. Cries for the real food. And the mother says, well, you have been cooking for past 2 hours. So eat what you have cooked. No. I thought I was cooking, but nothing has been cooked over here. So then what the mother says, okay, now give up all of that imitation cooking of yours and join us on the dining table to eat real food. So over here with this analogy, we are trying to understand that when we fail in our attempts to enjoy like Krishna in this material world, then we turn to Krishna, give me real satisfaction, give me real food, give me real happiness. And then Krishna says, okay, try to give up your imitation playing God and join me in Vaikuntha again, your real home. So the question which some of you had, that why this material world was created, he didn't create. Just like government doesn't create prison house, we are responsible. So we were adamant, we told Krishna, we want a separate world, we want to be independent, just like children nowadays. When they grow up, I don't want to live with my parents. I want a separate house, separate flat, parents separate, children separate, like that. So, over here, we are trying to imitate, but then we are not satisfied because there is nothing real going on here. It's all illusory. So, that illusory stuff is not satisfying us. And hence, we keep hankering. The first day, the title was Search for Happiness. We are actually searching for our real home, spiritual world, in so many species like that. Like the child searching for real food. Now, that word for spiritual world is Vaikuntha. In Sanskrit, Kuntha, as you can read over here, means misery. Kuntha means misery. And the opposite of Kuntha is Vaikuntha, which means there is no birth, old age, disease and death in the spiritual world. There is no threefold miseries in the spiritual world. But in the material world, it's called Kuntha. Now, coming back to the example of prison, the question again is asked, what is the purpose of a prison? What would you say? What is the purpose of a prison? Yeah, correcting, is it not? Prison house is not just to punish. Prison house is not just, you know, it's not that they are sadist. You know what a sadist is? Maja aata hai takleef dene mein, nahi. Are itna kharcha government ko, itne sarpachi, itne kaidiyon ko rakhna padta hai. Itna kharcha unke upar, itna bada department. Kya unka uddesh hai? Unka uddesh hai ki ye sudhar ke bahar jaye. Bolte hai na ki, laton ke bhoot. वो नहीं मान रहे थे बातों से, तो इसलिए उनको अंदर डाल के वहां पे सिखाया गया. सो इसलिए, सो द फर्स्ट रीजन इज टू रेक्टिफाई द क्रिमिनल. नाउ व्हाट इज द फर्स्ट थिंग व्हिच हैपेंस टू द प्रिजनर व्हेन ही इज इंडक्टेड इनटू द प्रिजन हाउस, है कि नहीं? चेंज ऑफ क्लोथ्स. Like in America, when I first time went to New York City and I was going for one program. So, you know, we were walking on the streets, you know, like Manhattan. And people were looking at me. I was dressed up like this. People were looking at me with strange eyes. So I didn't know. I asked, you know, our devotee from New York that why people are looking at me like that. He said, actually, you know, this color in America is the uniform of prisoners. So just like in India, we have, you know, a certain different, you know, checkered uniform, black and white, something like that. So in America, it is saffron, orange. So the first thing which is done to the criminal is change of clothes. When it comes to the prison house, the first thing is change of clothes. So similarly, what we understand here is that the soul gets clothing of various kinds depending on the karma, depending on the different crime. Which means the different species you read over here, 84 lakh species, 8.4 million species, Jalaja, Navalakshani, Sthavaram, Lakshavimshati, all this which is mentioned, that 9 lakh are the aquatics, trees are 20, then reptiles are 11, then birds are 10, then beasts, others, you know, they are 30, and we human beings, we are 4 lakh. Now, these are simply categories. And there are so many in each category. We'll discuss especially about human beings. The 4 lakh is not, you know, the population. The 4 lakh is the broad categories. And in each of these 4 lakh, there are millions of human beings. So these species, these various species, they are nothing but clothing over we who are into this prison house. Hamara uniform hai wo, alag alag. Now, you find that some of the species, you know, the outer clothing is very, very intense. And for some, it is not so intense. It is a little less intense. So that is again depending on the karma, which we will discuss further. That after coming into this material world, when we get a certain body in a certain species, that is all dependent on our karma which we perform as a human being. So the question you might be having right now, that when we first came from spiritual world, we actually were given the human form, and then depending on whatever actions we performed as a human being, some of us went back immediately realizing that what mistake we did, and some stayed. And some, you know, went into the animal species depending on the karma. So these are the different species which the soul takes on. Another thing which happens to the prisoner in a prison house is the uniform is given and then shackled. So there are shackles in this material world, this Durga. And they are the three modes. These three modes are very interesting. Like, we all are very freely sitting. We celebrate our independence every year, that we are free citizen of this free country, and you are telling that we are bound. So what is the bondage? So the bondage is the three modes of material nature. And we'll discuss what are the three modes of material nature. You must have heard of these three modes. The first is sattva-guna. Goodness. The second is rajoguna, passion, and the third is ignorance. Just like you have three basic colors, over here it's said. The three basic colors are red, yellow, and blue. And the permutation and combination of these three basic colors, you find so many different hues and colors. So similarly, we all are situated either in sattva-guna, or rajoguna, or tamoguna. We'll go into the details of each of these guna. What is this guna? And depending on the prominence of a certain guna in us, we perform
karmas. We perform actions. Now the 4 lakh different categories of human beings is nothing but permutation and combination of these 3 gunas. Like for example, there will be one category, someone who has 60% sattvaguna, 20% rajoguna, 20% tamoguna. So this is one category out of the 4 lakhs. Now like that, there might be millions in that one category. Then another category will be 40% sattvaguna, you know, then 30% of rajoguna, 30% of tamoguna, second category, like that. So let's go into what are the characteristics of each guna. First we begin with sattvaguna. Sattvaguna, just the name itself, you know, goodness, sattva. A person in the mode of goodness, these are the broad characteristics of the person, that he has purity, he is knowledge seeking, and his life is that free from sins. So kind hearted, charitable, you know, polite, freedom from sins, a very pious life. So I would like to congratulate all of you that since all of you have been coming over here for the past 4 days, predominantly within you, there is sattvaguna. Congratulate all of you for that. Predominantly there is sattvaguna, because we'll go into rajoguna also. That a person who is predominantly in rajoguna, passion, cannot sit for 2 hours like this. You are able to sit for 2 hours and, you know, pay your attention and understand something, that means that sattvaguna is there. Otherwise, a passionate person cannot. Like, passionate people are very restless. Over here, we look into those characteristics. A passionate person is very restless. Just the look at this on the face of this person. And they can't sit at one place. जिनके अंदर बहुत रजोगुण होते हैं वो एक जगह पर बैठ नहीं सकते. या इफ द टीवी इज ऑन देन दे विल सिट इन फ्रंट ऑफ टीवी. व्हाई? बिकॉज देयर इज पैशन गोइंग ऑन ऑन द स्क्रीन. सो देयरफॉर दे विल सिट एंड वॉच. इफ यू स्विच ऑफ द टीवी दे विल स्टार्ट मूविंग. टीवी इज ऑन दे विल सिट एट वन प्लेस. सो ओवर हियर व्हाई आई एम सेइंग दैट अ हार्डकोर पैशनेट पर्सन कैनॉट सिट फॉर 2 आवर्स बिकॉज ही कांट डाइजेस्ट 2 घंटा एक ही चैनल देखना, और वो भी ये चैनल आस्था. एक्चुअली वन ऑफ माई फ्रेंड्स, यू नो, लुक्ड एट मी आफ्टर 17 इयर्स ही मेट मी. सो ही न्यू मी फ्रॉम माई एयरफोर्स डेज, बट समहाउ ही गॉट माई फोन नंबर एंड ही कॉल्ड मी. आई वॉज इन बॉम्बे दैट टाइम. सो ही सेड आई वॉन्ट टू मीट यू, इट्स बीन 17 इयर्स, वी हैव नॉट मेट. I said, okay, I gave my address, you know, Radha Gopinath Mandir. So, he said, Mandir? Mandir ke paas rehta hai? No, Mandir mein rehta. Mandir mein rehta? Mandir mein kyun reh raha tu? So, he had no idea what had become of me. So, he knew Maratha Mandir, which is close to, you know, our Chopati temple. So, he thought that Maratha Mandir mein picture dekhne ke liye bula raha. Main, nahi. Radha Gopinath Mandir, main Mandir mein rehta. So, when he first time saw me, he couldn't believe his eyes. Only this looked familiar. The face looked familiar. Upar se kuch samajh mein nahi aa raha tha. Ye vesh bhusha kuch samajh mein nahi aa rahe the. So his remark upon seeing me, he said, ye MTV se aasta kab ho gaya? So, a person who is totally in rajogun, he can't peacefully sit at one place and listen to such subject matters. So person in the mode of passion, fruitive mentality. What is fruitive activities or fruitive mentality? Fruitive means very calculative. Kya milega? You call him for the 6-session course. Milega kya? Kuch milega kya? फायदा होगा क्या? फायदा होगा तो बोल. सो पर्सन इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन इज ऑलवेज इनटू फायदा नुकसान. जहां पर फायदा है वहां पर जाओ, वहां पर सब कुछ करो, जहां पर नुकसान है नहीं. सो ऑलवेज कैलकुलेटिव, दैट्स कॉल्ड फ्रूटिव. नाउ ऑल ऑफ अस वी हैव दैट ऑल्सो. डोंट थिंक दैट predominantly it's sattvaguna because we are in the temple, but there is rajoguna also in us. Then unlimited desires. Desires are unlimited. As you know, one philosopher, he very nicely put forth about our desires, passionate desires. So he says, if you take a paper as big as the sky, imagine a paper which is as big as the sky, a pen which can contain as much ink as the sea contains water in it, and you start writing down your desires, material desires, the paper will be totally filled, the ink will be exhausted, the nib will be broken, but still we'll have desires left down to jot down. So a person who is in the mode of passion has unlimited desires. And desires for what? Desires for all gratification, aisho aram, maja masti, all that. Like there were two friends, and this one person, he was lamenting, crying. So the other friend asked, bhai kyu ro raha hai? Bola, are pichle mahine mere dadaji guzar gaye. Oh, acha acha. Lekin wo jate jate 20 lakh rupaye mere naam kar gaye. अच्छी बात है वैसे, लेकिन फिर भी दादाजी गुजर गए. फिर उसके अगले हफ्ते मेरे मामा जी गुजर गए. अच्छा, उन्होंने भी 20 लाख रुपए मेरे नाम कर दिए. दो हफ्ते में 40 लाख. फिर उसके अगले हफ्ते मेरे चाचा जी गुजर गए, वो भी 20 लाख रुपए छोड़कर चले गए. दिस फ्रेंड वॉज थिंकिंग, तेरे को तो खुश होना चाहिए, तो रो क्यों रहा है? अरे पिछले हफ्ते मेरे पिताजी गुजर गए, उन्होंने तो 40 लाख छोड़ के गए. बोला, अरे तू तो करोड़पति हो गया, अब क्यों रो रहा है? मतलब कोई बाकी नहीं रहा मरने के लिए. सो दिस पर्सन इज इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन, ऑलवेज वांटिंग मोर. दिल मांगे मोर, ऑलवेज मोर मोर मोर. Another very significant characteristic of a person in the mode of passion is lust. Herein we are talking of person who is obsessed by sex life. Now, we see that in this material world, one of the hallmarks of this material world is people who are in the mode of passion are passionately attracted to lusty activities, lusty lifestyle. Like, you know, one mental asylum, the chief minister, he visits the mental asylum of the state. So he sees that as soon as he enters the mental asylum, Pagalkhana, a man was hanging from the ceiling fan. Latka hua hai, ceiling fan se latka hua, chilla raha hai, lela, 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 chilla raha. Chief minister, wo dekhta hai, ye kya hai? Upar latka hua hai, lela, lela, kyu chilla raha hai? So the supervisor of the mental asylum, he told, ye iski girlfriend thi lela. Wo bhag gayi, isliye idhar aa gaya, pagal ho gaya. वो अच्छा अच्छा बुरा हो गया, देखा वो देख के जा रहा, वो लटका हुआ लैला लैला चिल्ला रहा. दूसरे इसमें गया, वार्ड में गया, उधर भी एक वैसे ही लटका है, वो भी लैला लैला चिल्ला रहा है. बोला, ये भी लैला लैला चिल्ला रहा है ऊपर? बोला, इसके साथ भागी थी, उसको छोड़ के भागी थी, इसके साथ भागी थी, दोनों पागल इधर ही आ गए. तो इसको ये लग रहा है कि वो मेरी फैन है, इसलिए फैन को लटक के वो लैला लैला चिल्लाता. So people, you see, nowadays you can never say, like, things have become so topsy-turvy in this age of Kali Yuga. Like, you know, the father is giving some advice to the grown-up son who is unmarried. So look at the advice nowadays the fathers give to the grown-up son. So he's saying, beta, teri shadi hone wali, shadi ki umar ka ho gaya. Shadi karna, to tu aisi ladki se karna jo hamari caste ki ho. Then few decades later, the father is telling to the son, you know, tu aisi ladki se shadi karna jo padhi likhi ho, jo khana wana bana sake, jo hamare ghar pe rahe. And nowadays the scene is, father is telling to the son, beta, shadi karna ladki se hi karna. So it is taking all types of shapes and forms, lust. So person in the mode of passion has got that intense greed for lust. Then mode of ignorance. Mode of ignorance is people who are addicted to all kinds of bad habits like smoking, drinking, you know, intoxication. So laziness, sleep and intoxication, madness. I remember when I was living in the hostel in the Air Force, there was this one colleague of mine. You know how much he loved to sleep. Sleep was like his favorite pastime every day. His favorite sport was sleep. And we had, like, you know, Saturdays would be half days. So Saturday he would come. This is how he would enjoy his weekend. Saturday he would come, have his lunch, finish off by 2 p.m. and then come to the room, pull the curtains, prepare the bed, and he would go to sleep. By 3 o'clock, 3 p.m. he would go to sleep Saturday. And he would get up Sunday evening. I'm not exaggerating. That was his weekend enjoyment. And Sunday evening he would get up just to have dinner and go back to sleep, get up Monday morning. That much stamina. Hum log thak jate the dekh dekh ke, are kitna soega ye. So person who has so much of lethargy, there is predominance in the mode of ignorance. So herein, all these three modes which are discussing, we can make a self-analysis, bete bete, ki mere andar kaun sa jyada hai. Let it be inside only. You can do your self-analysis, ki predominance kiska hai mere andar. So sleep, you know, laziness again, people are very, very active materially, but when it comes to anything spiritual or sattva-guna activity, they become lazy. If cricket match is going on, even if it is night 2 o'clock, with unblinking eyes, you know, glued to the television screen, night 2 o'clock, but you call them for a satsang program, Gita class, after 5 minutes, eyelids, they keep starting, you know, they start closing, you know, because that tamogun over there comes up. Intoxication. What is the meaning of intoxication? Toxic. Anything which is toxic, you take it in. That's called intoxication. So people who are addicted to so much smoking, so much of drinking, again, you know, I had this defense background, so much of drinking used to go on. Every day, you know, so many of my colleagues drinking like anything. There was one colleague of mine, his name was Prakash Ghorpade. And he used to drink so much, practically every weekend he would be lying some gutter or some street here and there in the premises. So we had renamed him. We had renamed him Prakash Kumar Ghorpade, pura naam tha. To humne unko naam diya PK Girpade. Har samay gire pade milte the. Uska naam tha PK Girpade hamare Air Force mein. Ek bar to aisa hua 31st, you know, 31st night December. I used to always take some duty for myself because I couldn't stand the madness which would go on after midnight. So in the morning, like around 4 o'clock, I was coming back from my duty and this Mr. Girpade, he was somewhere lying and he happened to see me. So he actually stopped me. He said, "Khada rahe, ruk, mereko kuch sunana hai." Suna bhai, kya sunana hai? Subha 4 baje. This is 1st January. Maine sharab pi, maine guna kiya, hai na? Na. Sahi kaha, sahi kaha. To wo sher bol raha tha. Ki maine sharab pi, maine guna kiya, mujhe nark mila. Are lekin nark ne kaun sa guna kiya, usko main mila. मैंने बोला वो तो पता नहीं लेकिन मैंने तो कुछ गुनाह किया कि मुझे तू मिला सुबह 4 बजे. Like night 1 o'clock, one policeman caught one drunkard and he was like, you know, not able to stand on his two feet. So the policeman caught 1 o'clock. Hey, किधर जा रहा है? हवलदार ने पूछा. बोले प्रवचन सुनने जा रहा हूं. प्रवचन सुनने. प्रवचन रात के 1 बजे? बोला हां. टॉपिक है डिसएडवांटेजेस ऑफ ड्रिंकिंग लिकर. 1 बजे प्रवचन कौन देगा तेरे को प्रवचन? मेरी पत्नी देने वाली है अभी. सो यू नो पीपल इन द मोड ऑफ इग्नोरेंस, दीज थिंग्स आर प्रेडोमिनेंट. Laziness, sleep, intoxication, madness. Herein, we are not just talking about people who are clinically mad, but also people who do not know their real identity and live in illusory identity, thinking that his body is everything. Now, there is food in mode of goodness, as you see over here. You know, like these foods, they come in the mode of goodness. You have grains, you know, fruits, vegetables, vegetarian food, milk, like that. They come in the mode of goodness. So herein, what I'm trying to make all of you understand is that our spontaneous liking for certain things will decide that the kind of mode which is predominant, the kind of food which we like. Then person in the mode of good passion, the kind of food he likes is very, very hot and spicy. जब तक वो लाल तर्री नहीं दिखती मिसल के ऊपर, लाइक दैट. एंड यू नो व्हेन सच हॉट स्पाइसी फूड्स, अनलेस यू नो स्टीम इज कमिंग आउट फ्रॉम ऑल द 9 होल्स ऑफ द बॉडी, एकदम ठर्रा नहीं लगा तो मजा नहीं आता. सो पर्सन इन द मोड ऑफ पैशन लाइक्स दैट काइंड ऑफ फूड. इट बर्न्स व्हेन इट गोज इन, बर्न्स व्हेन इट कम्स आउट नेक्स्ट डे. सो दैट इज person who likes that kind of food in the mode of passion. Food in the mode of ignorance is all kinds of meat products. Now what is meat? Like George Bernard Shaw, he said, he was a vegetarian, George Bernard Shaw. So he said, "I am a vegetarian because I don't want my stomach to be a graveyard." So meat eating, it's essentially someone else's dead body. Some animals, dead body, whether fish or chicken or goat, whatever, dead body going into this body and becoming more decayed, decomposed inside. So that food which is stale, decomposed, decaying for more than 300 years, frozen, you know, like all these meat products. So they are like that. So that comes in the mode of ignorance, food in that category. So we see what happens is, this is called human swine flu. People, the kind of food they eat. You know, I had a colleague of mine, he, anything which should crawl in our premises, he would cook it. Whether it was lizard, whether it was crab, whether it was frog, anything. Literally, he would cook and eat. So, what happens is, people, when they are into all kind of, this kind of stuff, so one side, the tongue is getting all the enjoyment, but the other side, what happens is, we spend all the money to first enjoy and then spend all the money to get back our health. As they say, you know, we first spend all our health to get wealth, and then when we become sick, we spend all of that wealth to gain back our health. So what's happening is, here in someone sent me a very interesting photo, that in Africa, our giraffe is hit by the Mac burger. And they say that, okay, I'm loving this kind of food, but then after a while, what happens is, the same golden arcs, but in a different form. So food in these three modes. Then there is music in these three modes. Just like food is in three modes, so there is music. There is music in the mode of goodness. Like Sugam Sangeet or Bhajan or Shastriya Sangeet, classical, all this, you know. Earlier, the radios, I'm saying earlier, nowadays it's no more like that. The radio early in the morning would have, you know, bhajans and Sugam Sangeet like that. So there is music in the mode of goodness. Then there is music in the mode of passion. Radio Mirchi. You know, just that radio station has, you know, the so much passion in that. So music in the mode of passion is that kind of music, blaring sound, all these, you know, rock, pop, jazz, you know, this comes in the mode of passion. Like rap. I don't know whether it's still famous, but one point of time this rap music became so famous. And for the first time, when one of my friends, he played this rap music for me. Ki sun, rap music kabhi suna hai kya? When I heard that, it's like, you know rap music? Like, the lyrics you can't even make out. And in one breath, he has to, like, 15-20 statements he has to make, or sentences he has to sing, or whatever. I don't know whether it's singing. So this person in one breath going on like that, it appeared as if somebody is having constipation and sitting on the toilet commode and microphone samne rakh diya. That becomes rap music. This actually happened in one of the villages of India. You know, some of these rap musicians went to one village, remote village of India, and they found that the farmers, illiterate farmers, they were playing rap music, you know, in the fields. Unhone speaker laga rakha tha. Or rap music chala rakha tha. Remote village of India. So these musicians were very much impressed ki hamara music idhar tak pahunch gaya. So they wanted to find out, they asked the farmers that, how come in the fields you are playing our music, this rap music? So the farmer said, we don't know what this music is, but we know one thing, whenever we play that, no animals come and attack our fields. So unless the window panes break, you know, so that music is in the mode of passion. Then there is music in the mode of ignorance also. Like, I don't know whether you know about this, there is a certain kind of music nowadays very famous in the West. It's called death metal music. Just the name itself is so scary. And so much in tamasic. Tamoguna, death metal music. And this death metal music, the lyrics of any of the song of this particular type is all about violence, all about death. And it's all, you know, there are albums actually, when you listen to such albums, you, even if you are in Sattoguna, you will go in the base gunas. And these albums are like 1 hour. There is some very, very gloomy music, you know, like that going on. You know. And after 15 minutes, there will be one line, somebody singing, "I want her, I want her, I want her." Then again the music will start, like that. Then after 15 minutes, the second line, "I got her, I got her, I got her." Then again the music will go on for another 20 minutes. And the last line, "I lost her, I lost her." So this is, you know, music in the mode of ignorance, which puts one in the base gunas. So there is music in goodness, passion and ignorance. So herein, very interestingly, you will find in one family, three brothers, Ramayana, you have Ravan, Vibhishan and Kumbhakarna, three modes, depicting the three modes. So it's very easy to understand. Kumbhakarna stands for ignorance, sleeping for 6 months at a stretch. Ravan, the original rapist. Ravan was the number one rapist. So much lust, kidnapped Sita from here, Nasik Panchavati. So Ravan in the mode of passion and Vibhishan in the mode of goodness. So why I am showing this example from the Ramayana? Because in one family you find three modes. Similarly, in one body you will find that we get up in the morning, there is Sattvaguna. Hopefully, in the morning there is Sattvaguna. In the morning we like to, you know, look at nature, look at sunrise, if in case we get up before that. So, but then as the day rolls by, then the passion comes in, money, paisa kahan hai, all that. And then towards the evening, all the liquor bars open, you know, parties they begin, nocturnal parties they say. So like that, in one, we individual, we have three modes. Depends on which we spontaneously become attracted to, that becomes predominant and we associate with that particular mode. So everything, you take your every day, the color which you like, the food which you like, the music which you like, the dress code, everything. Like, you know, there was one party going on, some teenage party was going on, and the Dadaji was there in the house. He was looking at that rave party, you know, their grandchildren were putting forth. So he was totally surprised that kya aajkal ye party kya ho rahi. So the person was sitting next to this Dadaji, he said, "My God, I thought he's a boy. Look at the dress. Mujhe laga ladka hai ye. Kya kapde aajkal? Samajh mein nahi aata ladka hai ki ladki." So the person sitting said, "She is my daughter." "Oh, achha, your daughter. I didn't know you are the father." "Then no, I am the mother." So nowadays, you name whether dress code or the food habits, everything, you know, you can determine which particular mode is predominant. So we are shackled by these three modes, and then comes the next, which is Kala, eternal time factor, which is ruling us. So herein you see, the time factor is the ultimate and the most powerful killer. As Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita also, "Kalo smi loksha kshay krit pravruddho." That this time factor is so powerful that no matter somebody who might be Hitler or Stalin or Lenin, who killed so many, but who killed them? Time factor killed them. They might have been the greatest of all killers, but nobody can be spared from the ultimate of all killers, Kala, time factor. Now, the cycle of universe in calculation of the time is in our scriptures mentioned that there is Satyuga. After Satyuga comes Treta, then Dwapar and Kaliyuga. So how it is determined? In Satyuga, everything was in the mode of goodness. Then when mode of goodness became a little contaminated with passion, came Treta Yuga, then Dwapar Yuga, and Kali Yuga is predominantly ignorance and passion. Hardly any Sattva Guna in Kali Yuga. Like in Satyuga, people in front of their house, they used to write Atithi Devo Bhava. Have you heard of this? Atithi Devo Bhava. So in Satyuga, homes had in front of them Atithi Devo Bhava. Then in Treta, it was written Suswagatam. Bas, aajao, welcome aapko kar denge. Then in Dwapar Yuga, it was Shubhlab. Shubhlab means if you are bringing any lab and shubh, then enter inside. But in Kali Yuga, kutton se savdhan. So this is how, depending on the influence of the time, the degradation takes place. So the functions of prakriti, we are still on the topic of prakriti. So prakriti, material nature, creates prison material world. So this is in a gist of whatever we heard. We get 8.4 million bodies, controls through the three modes of material nature, controls through the time factor. So this material world has all these characteristics, which we just discussed. Now coming to karma, after understanding prakriti, we understood prakriti, we understood eternal time factor. Now we'll discuss karma. So the definition of the law of karma, whatever we have understood in all these days till this point of time, in just one slide you can at one glance have it. So who am I? I am spirit soul. Where are we right now in the material world? What situations are we in the material body? What are we bound by? The three modes. What is controlling us? Time factor. Who is watching over us is the super soul, the Paramatma. Now comes the most important topic, karma, or the law of karma. Definition: any activity performed by living entity conditioned by the three modes under the control and purview of time, that is called karma. And the law of karma is, might be very familiar from our school days, for every action there is equal and corresponding reaction. We are accountable for everything we think, we speak and do. Therefore, we must be aware of the consequences of the activities we perform. So please, whatever we are going to discuss from this slide onwards, remember the law of karma. For every action, there is equal and corresponding reaction. Now, it begins with, when we disobey the laws of God, then we become responsible for the consequences, for the disobedience of the laws of God. So just like we have state laws, we have national laws or universal laws, you know, there is law of karma. To begin with, there is good karma and there is bad karma. What is good karma? Punya karma. Bad karma is pap. So pious and impious. So to begin with, these are the two main differentiations as far as our activities are concerned. Now the thing over here is that in order to understand why do bad things happen to good people, we have to understand that good karma cannot cancel our previous bad karma, and our previous bad karma cannot cancel our previous good karma also. They don't cancel each other. They have their respective tenure of giving us the consequences. So, now, our shastras explain that there are four pillars of dharma and four pillars of adharma. So, if you have adharma standing, the house of adharma standing on four pillars, so you have the house of dharma standing on four pillars. And we'll see how each pillar of adharma breaks one pillar of dharma. when one pillar of adharma is practiced in society, it destroys one pillar of dharma in society. So the first pillar is meat eating. So when meat eating is followed in society, that destroys the pillar of mercy. The second pillar of adharma is gambling, which destroys the pillar of truthfulness from the house of dharma. The third pillar is intoxication, which destroys the pillar of austerity. Austerity means penance, tapasya. And finally, the fourth pillar is illicit sex life. Sex life outside of marriage. That's called illicit sex life. So, sex life, illicit sex life, destroys the pillar of cleanliness over here. Now, this is very, very important for us to note. Law of karma is applicable only to human beings. If a tiger is killing a deer and eating, he's not doing meat eating. Yeah, he's eating meat, but he's naturally designed for that. So there is no karma for other species other than we human beings. It is applicable to only we human beings. Why? Why only we human beings? Because we human beings have got developed intelligence to practice dharma, which the animals, they don't have that facility naturally within them to practice dharma. So therefore, they are exempt from any bad or good karma. They simply live and evolve into the next species until they reach the human. So therefore, human form of life is like train junction. You know, you have junction. What is the meaning of junction? That from junction you can go to different destinations. So human form of life is like junction for the soul, that this form will decide which destination the soul will go further, higher up, same destination, which means the same middle planetary systems or lower planetary systems. So herein, the four options for every human being, depending on the karma, the destination is decided. So we see, a person performs sin, glides down into the animal species. A sinner glides down into the, which means the soul glides down into the animal species. A person who performs piety or punya karma is elevated to the heavens. And a person performing mixed karma, which means mixed sabji hoti na, mixed sabji, like that. So there is sin also going on and piety also going on, like that. So that gives rebirth as a human being again on this planet. And therefore we find sometimes, like this question was asked yesterday, we'll take up this question right away since we are on the topic, that how come we see the human population growing? You were having that question? Yeah. That how come the human population is growing? So the answer to your question is, I'll give you with an example. Say, in 10th standard in a school, there are 100 students. And in 9th standard, there are 50 students. So, after the exam, out of the 100 students from the 10th standard, only 75 they pass, 25 failed. So now, next year, how many students will be there in 10th standard? Huh? 75. Population bad gaya na? 10th standard ka population bad gaya. Technically, khali 50 aane chahiye the na. From 9th standard, only 50 were supposed to come. But herein, how come the population has increased when it was not supposed to? Because 25 who were supposed to pass failed. तो ह्यूमन पॉपुलेशन बढ़ क्यों रहा है कि जिनको वैकुंठ जाना चाहिए यहां ह्यूमन बीइंग बनने के बाद वो फेल हो रहे हैं, इसलिए इधर पॉपुलेशन बढ़ते जा रहा है. So that's one logic in trying to answer that question. Then there is something called akarma. There is punya karma, there is papa karma, there is mixed karma, and there is akarma. What is akarma? That we are going to discuss tomorrow. That is devotional service, bhakti for the Supreme Lord directly. And that takes us to Vaikuntha. So don't think only pious life will take us to Vaikuntha. No, pious life will only give us Swargaloka. Like, you know, heavenly planets of the devatas, like that. But that is again in the material world. So you see, the higher planets of this material world, they are like A-class cell. Jail ke andar hi hai, lekin A-class cell hai. Uske andar facilities jyada honge, lekin jail hai. So you are not out of jail. When we are out of jail, when we reach Vaikuntha, the abode of Lord Vishnu, then, as I said, that good karma, it doesn't cancel the bad karma. To make it more clear, now I have been in this ISKCON movement for the past 15 years. 15 years ago, now since past 15 years, what I have been doing in ISKCON, giving these kind of seminars, preaching Bhagavad Gita, living a very pure lifestyle. 15 years ago, I murdered someone. Okay, just an assumption, huh? Don't take that literally. 15 years ago, imagine I had murdered someone. And I kind of felt bad about it. So I joined ISKCON. And then I'm doing all good karma. So now, imagine after 15 years, police finds out that this person who had murdered that person 15 years ago, he's right now here, Dwarka, ISKCON temple, giving a seminar at 9:15. They come, they catch me. And I say, abhi to main achha ho na, puchho na inse, pichle 4 din se achhi achhi baate hum log kar rahe hain. Even if you, all of you, you go to the court and say, अरे अच्छा आदमी है, 15 साल से अच्छा काम कर रहा है, छोड़ो उसको. What will the judge say? 15 साल पहले क्या किया था? अभी साधु बन गया, 15 साल पहले क्या किया था? आजकल तो साधु भी पता नहीं क्या क्या कर रहे हैं. तो प्रश्न ये है, हमारा ओरिजिनल क्वेश्चन क्या था? आई एम गुड राइट नाउ, why bad is happening to me? Are, because you did something bad, which was some time ago. Even if you are good now, you are good, whatever good you have done. Maine ek ki jaan li, chahe uske badle mein bolo mere 10 bacche paida kar diye, wo dekho na. To balance agar ho gaya, ek ki jaan leke 10 ki jaan di maine, nahi to tum chahe 50 bacche paida karo. इंडिया में तो ज्यादा करोगे तो और भी अपराध हो जाएगा, पहले से आबादी बढ़ रही थी. सो जस्ट बिकॉज आई एम गुड राइट नाउ विल नॉट कैंसल द बैड विच आई माइट हैव डन. सो आर यू गेटिंग होल्ड ऑफ द क्वेश्चन एंड द आंसर कमिंग नाउ स्लोली? सो गुड एंड बैड, दे डोंट कैंसल ईच अदर. नाउ वील गो मोर डीपर इन टू ट्राइंग टू आंसर द क्वेश्चन, वाई डू बैड थिंग्स हैपन टू गुड पीपल? सो देर इज समथिंग कॉल्ड इंस्टेंट कर्मा. And there is something called delayed karma. So we'll show you two small videos. We can have the lights, some of the lights switch off right now. I'll show you two small videos of what is instant karma and what is delayed karma. Instant karma means, you go on the street, you slap someone. Aise hi, raaste pe koi aadmi, usko jhapad maro, instant reaction mil jayega. You did something, you got instant reaction. So that's called instant karma. That was instant. Then there is something called delayed karma. So another video that is for delayed karma also. This is actually an advertisement, but I found it quite relevant to, you know, the, it's just an advertisement, but the advertisement gives the message which we are trying to understand of delayed karma. Karmic reaction. The child did something in the childhood and later on the elephant remembered. Elephants have good memory, by the way, they remember. So, delayed karma. Now, delayed karma explains for sure why do bad things happen to good people and vice versa. Here is the example of Dhritarashtra. You see, Dhritarashtra, who was born blind. Now it is explained that Dhritarashtra, 50 lifetimes before, he was son of a hunter. And one day, he destroyed 100 eggs of a bird family. He destroyed 100 eggs. And using a straw, when the bird came to take care of the eggs, he blinded the bird. Using the straw by poking. So he had done these two sins when he was 50 lifetimes ago. So to get the reaction, he had to perform pious activities so that he could get 100 sons in one life. So when he was born as Dhritarashtra, he was born blind because he had blinded the parent bird, and while living, his 100 sons were killed. So it is said that the mills of God, they grind very slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. So Dhritarashtra did something 50 lifetimes before. So the question you might be having, why instant reaction was not given? The instant reaction was not given because it waited to give the exact, what is the law of karma? To give the exact experience of the papa which a person has done. So to give him the exact experience of that papa, he had to first perform piety to become father of 100 sons first. So he was allowed to do piety for 50 lifetimes. And then, you know, the treasure of that piety gave him 100 sons, and that reaction from 50 lifetimes ago was given to him. So that delayed karmic reaction explains that, I gave the example that 15 years ago, even if I don't remember what I did, that doesn't mean that I'm spared. You see? So, you know, farmers, they have these granaries, they are called silos. So this example is given that a farmer, first year, he works hard. He works very hard and he gets good harvest. So he puts in that granary and it settles at the bottom. Then second year, he didn't work so hard. So he didn't get, you know, that good grain. So he put over top of that. Like that every year, he kept on putting different quality grains. Now after 5 years, he wants the grains from that granary. So that fifth year, He didn't do anything. He didn't do farming at all. But when he opened from below the granary, which grain do you think will he get now? The best quality grain he'll get. Although this year, 2013, he didn't do anything as far as farming. But he's reaping the results of what he did 5 years ago. Similarly, a person, and yes, as he removes, you know, the bad grain also will come out eventually over the due course of time. So right now, I might be a good person, but I might have done something so bad so many years ago. I know this particular incident took place many years ago when I was in the armed forces. So there was this one person from Punjab, and he was returning back from his native village to his duty, to his unit in Delhi. And on the way, the train derailed some of the bogies and there was a massive accident. So this person, what he did, because in the armed forces, if you are found dead, you know, while on duty, or even when you are returning back from your leave, that's also considered to be like you get paid leave. That's also duty. So if you are found dead, then you get remuneration, lakhs and lakhs of rupees, pension and all that stuff. So what he did, he tried to play a prank. He took one dead body. It was, you know, the accident, the police had not come. So he took one dead body, he defaced it, you know, totally. And he put his identity card in his pocket. So when the police came and they saw the identity card, so they thought that this dead body is of one Air Force officer. So they reported to the family, and he had gone back to the native village. He was, you know, a survivor from that accident. And he told that, you know, this telegram will come from the Air Force that I am dead, and you go, you put up a show that, you know, I am dead, and take all the money from there and I will get pension. Mast jiyenge hum phir. And it worked. Got the telegram, and then, you know, the Air Force people, they handed over the dead body and the money and remuneration and all that and pension, everything started. After 8 years, he was living now, you know, scot-free, whatever he did, with all the money from the government. After 8 years, there was census, and there was counting of, you know, people in the village office. And the records said that this person, who is supposed to be dead, is living in our village. So they reported to the air headquarters that what you had informed us, this person is living here. And they came after 8 years, they opened his file, and they found him alive. And then he was court-martialed and all that. So this is called delayed karmic reaction. There is instant and there is delayed. Like, if you eat something very spicy which your stomach doesn't allow tonight, the reaction will be tomorrow morning. Again, delayed. So herein, why do bad things happen to good people? Why good things are happening to bad people? It's all a matter of time. Are you able to understand? Now there is individual karma and there is collective karma. Somebody who performs some piety or impiety individually. So one gets individual reaction, like say accident. One accident, one person is driving, gets killed in that one accident. But then what happens is material nature, the laws are so precise and so intelligently designed that if say for example 1,000 people are performing one sin together in this life, like for example say 1,000 workers working in a slaughterhouse slaughtering animals, so they are performing one sin together, so nature will give collective karma reaction. So what it does, maybe that particular life or next life, those 1,000 who were slaughtering animals together are put in one plane and the entire plane crashes. This is called collective reaction. So therefore when you hear all this, you know that earthquake, so many people died. Plane crashed, so many passengers died. And sometimes you find that even in that earthquake situation, under the debris, you will find some 3-month-old baby surviving. Because that 3-month-old baby only had the karma to experience that death closely, not die. So it's very, very subjective. Karma is very subjective. It's, you know, person who is performing it individually, person who are performing it collectively, getting the reactions accordingly. If everything is predestined, then why should I work? Huh? You are saying that if individually, collectively, everything, delayed, incident, whatever is predestined, then why should I work? You see, we have the destiny and we have the free will. So our free will makes our destiny, which means man is the maker of his destiny and breaker of his destiny. But once we perform the karma using our free will, then the destiny, just like, you know, student, before the exam, till the exam, he has whatever he wants to write on the answer sheet. Kitna padhai kiya hai, nahi kiya, jo bhi kuch. Once he hands over the answer sheet, then the result becomes his destiny. Is it not? So this is one example that he can change the destiny of his result depending on how much he has studied, how well he has performed in the exam, all of that. But once he has written, then he is actually writing his own destiny, you can say. So that's how we understand that we decide our own destiny. Okay, herein, you might have this question, what about those who are not attending this seminar? Unko to malum nahi na? To fir unke upar reaction lagega kya? Ignorance of law is no excuse. Like imagine a cannibal from Africa comes to Nasik. You know who's a cannibal? Yeah. One who eats human beings, you know. Same species. So cannibal, narbhakshi, jangli, aagya, Africa se. And he's eating animals, eating human beings here. Breakfast, lunch, dinner, pakad pakad ke khaa raha hai. Insano ko khaa raha hai. And then he's brought in front of the judge. And judge puta, kya hai? Ye kya kar raha hai tum? Oh, I didn't know that over here the law is different. That, you know, in Africa we do that. Lunch, breakfast, dinner, like you, you know, we keep eating. So will the judge excuse? Arre, isko malum nahi tha bichare ko, chhod de isko. No. If the traffic policeman catches you breaking the signal when you're driving your car, if you tell the traffic policeman, sab malum nahi tha, mere ko laga, na, लाल है ना वो इमरजेंसी है ना तो जल्दी जल्दी जाना चाहिए इमरजेंसी तो ट्रैफिक पुलिसमैन क्या छोड़ देगा अरे बेचारे को मालूम नहीं था चाचा ना इफ यू आर ड्राइविंग द कार यू आर सपोज टू नो द ट्रैफिक रूल्स इफ यू आर वॉकिंग ऑन द स्ट्रीट यू आर सपोज टू नो द रूल्स ऑफ द गवर्नमेंट सिमिलरली वी हैव गॉट दिस ह्यूमन फॉर्म ऑफ लाइफ वी हैव गॉट द डिफॉल्ट इंटेलिजेंस विद इन अस वी आर सपोज टू नो What is sin? What is piety? We are supposed to find out. That's the onus on us. That's the responsibility on us. At this point of time, I would like to show you a presentation. This happened now. You see, this month only, 9/11 is going to come up. The anniversary of the destruction of the Twin Towers in America. So that particular year, when the Twin Towers were destroyed by the terrorists. It's called 9/11, September 11. So one American girl was interviewed. And herein I'm going to present the interview of this American girl and what this American girl has to say about those terrorist attacks. So kindly, pay attention to this. I hope this catches you the way it caught me. In light of many perversions and jokes we send along to one another for a laugh, this is a little different. This joke today is not intended to be a joke. It's not intended to be funny. It's intended to get you thinking. A prominent American's daughter named Annie Graham was interviewed on a TV show, and Jane Clayson asked her, how could God let something like this happen? Which means the 9/11 WTC crash. Now, Annie Graham gave an extremely profound and insightful response. So this is the answer of that American girl. She said, I believe God is deeply saddened by this, just as we are. But for years, we have been telling God to get out of our schools, to get out of our government, and to get out of our lives. And being the gentleman he is, I believe he has calmly backed out. How can we expect God to give us his blessing and his protection if we demand he leave us alone? In light of recent terrorist attacks, school shootings, etc., I think it started when we complained we didn't want prayer in our schools and we said okay. Then someone said, you better not read the Bible in school because the Bible says thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, and love your neighbor as yourself. And we said, okay. Then someone said, teachers and principals better not discipline our children when they misbehave. The school administrator said, no faculty member in this school better touch a student when they misbehave because we don't want any bad publicity and we surely don't want to be sued. And we said, okay. Then someone said, let's let our daughters have abortions if they want and they won't even have to tell their parents. And we said, okay. Then some wise school board member said, since boys will be boys and they are going to do it anyway, let's give our sons all the condoms they want so they can have all the fun they desire and we won't have to tell their parents they got them at school. And we said, okay. Then some of our top elected officials said, it doesn't matter what we do in private as long as we do our jobs. Agreeing with them, we said, it doesn't matter to me what anyone, including the president, does in private as long as I have a job and the economy is good. Then someone said, let's print magazines with pictures of nude women and call it wholesome, down-to-earth appreciation of, for the beauty of the female body. And we said, okay. And then someone else took that appreciation a step further and published pictures of nude children and then further again by making them available on the internet. And we said, okay, they are entitled to free speech. Then the entertainment industry said, let's make TV shows and movies that promote profanity, violence, and illicit sex. Let's record music that encourages rape, drugs, murder, suicide, and satanic themes. And we said, it's just entertainment. It has no adverse effect. Nobody takes it seriously anyway. And so, go right ahead. And we said again, okay. Now we are asking ourselves why our children have no conscience. Why they don't know right from wrong and why it doesn't bother them to kill strangers, their classmates and themselves. I think it has a great deal to do with we reap what we sow. Funny how simple it is for people to trash God and then wonder why the world is going to hell. Funny how we believe what newspapers say but question what the Bible says. Funny how you can send jokes through email and they spread like wildfire. But when you start sending messages regarding Lord, people think twice about sharing. Funny how lewd, crude, vulgar and obscene articles pass freely through cyberspace. But public discussion of God is suppressed in the school and workplace, again in the name of secularism, especially in this country. Are you laughing or are you thinking? Funny how when you forward this message, you will not send it to many on your address list because you are not sure what they believe or what they will think of you for sending it. Funny how we can be more worried about what other people think of us than what God thinks of us. Pass it on if you think it has merit. If not, then just discard it. No one will know you did. But if you discard this thought process, don't sit back and complain about what bad shape the world is in. Do we dare to ask now why bad things are happening to, are they good people? first of all. Now, at this point of time, I have included this slide this time in the seminar, looking into the gang rapes which are happening in India. And this happened just when that Delhi gang rape took place, and that lady, she died. After some time she died, you know, battling for her life. So that particular day, I was traveling from Chennai to Bombay. And on flight, everyone was just talking about that, the Delhi gang rape and that lady who died. So some of the passengers asked me this question, that what do you have to say about this? So their question was this one: who is responsible for that gang rape? And also recently so many gang rapes are happening after that also. Who is responsible? So I took the newspaper, because they were all reading the newspaper. It was, the newspapers are filled with that news. And I turned to the Bollywood section. I didn't read the description of whatever that rape case was. I just turned to the Bollywood section, you know, cinema. And I asked, how many of you saw all these cinemas which are, you know, advertised here? And they said, yeah, I saw this last week, this one, you know, week before that. They all said, we saw these cinemas. So I said, what do you think, what is being shown in the Bollywood cinemas nowadays? Especially when it comes to women. Especially these item songs. It's nothing but conscious effort to show vulgarity. You all agree with me? There is conscious effort to show the vulgarity, nudity, obscenity of women of our country. And I gave an example. The example which I gave was from Ramayana. You all know this Surpanakha? She was the sister of Ravan. And Surpanakha, she became lusty for Ram. Here in Nasik, she came here. That's how this place got the name Nasik. Her nose was cut off by Lakshman because she became lusty for Ram. Now this Surpanakha, when she went to Lanka to report to her brother, you know what she did? She reported to Ravan not about what happened to her. She reported to Ravan the sensual beauty of Sita. In order to take revenge, she was arousing the lust of Ravan, her brother. So she started to describe the beauty of Sita. Now Sita, one of the most chaste women, ideal wives of Lord Ram. But the way she was described by Surpanakha to Ravan was very sensual. Her bodily features, in a very sensual manner she was describing. And her only goal was to arouse the sensuality and lust within the heart of Ravan. Now you see, Ravan, definitely Ravan was at fault whatever he did. He kidnapped Sita from here. He tried to rape Sita. But before that, before hearing Surpanakha, Ravan had seen Sita. It was not that Ravan was unaware of Sita. During Sita Swayambar, Ravan was also there. Before the marriage of Ram and Sita, Ravan had seen Sita. Why Ravan didn't steal Sita then? Obvious question. If Ravan was lusty for Sita, Ravan had seen Sita much younger, before marriage. Why did Ravan not attack Sita then? He left, he went back, and he was living with Mandodari, you know, the wedded wife of Ravan. But it was Surpanaka. She went, and the way she described the sensual beauty of Sita, that aroused the lust within Ravan. Then he came disguised as a sannyasi, kidnapped Sita, and so on and so forth, what happened. So I was telling this to the passengers in the plane. I said, what is Surpanaka doing now? The modern Bollywood is doing. What is the modern Bollywood doing? Taking the Bharatiya Nari and asking that Bharatiya Nari to strip off her clothes in front of the entire country. In front of the entire country, the Bollywood is asking these actresses that you show obscenity. So my question to all the passengers was, who is responsible? Definitely those six people who raped that lady, they are definitely to be punished. But are we also not responsible? We are paying our hard-earned money to these Bollywood people to produce such movies. And in the name of entertainment, we say that let's go for a movie. And what are we doing? We are paying our money that you show in the name of entertainment all this obscenity, vulgarity. So what is Bollywood doing then? It is doing nothing but creating Ravanas in the society. What do you feel that, you know, just a march with candles at India Gate and all that will stop this? Every day when, you know, the teenagers and the men are watching all this vulgarity on screen and it is being censored, you know, the funniest part is being censored. Do you expect that after watching, you know, obscene movie like that, they will go and worship the women of India? That's what they will do. They will rape. Because we are promoting. Go. Produce. We give our money. We give our money. We bring those movies at home. We watch along with the family. And we are telling, okay, carry on producing such. And then we complain that why such things are, bad things are happening in this country. So this is not our culture. Our culture is to protect the women of this country by protecting their chastity. Not just displaying in front of everyone. In fact, I was just discussing with few elite people of Bombay recently. And they were asking such questions. And since I was in Bombay, you know, the den of Bollywood, I asked that, who are your role models nowadays? Who are your heroes nowadays? And obviously, you know, someone said, this Khan, that Khan, Shah Rukh Khan, whatever. So I asked that, you tell me one thing, does that make any sense to your conscience? That just to make money and become popular in a movie, that person is ready to sleep with anyone and everyone in every other movie? He has a wedded wife. I am not able to understand that if someone has a wedded wife and the wedded wife is seeing my husband is sleeping with a half-naked woman, and in the next movie that half-naked woman becomes the sister also. So that's what I was telling the other day, that we are simply attracted by the containers of these celebrities. Oh, container is very good looking. Macho man. Good looking, good looks and all that. But what about the character? Then I asked these families, would you want your daughter, would you want your sister to perform that item song which you are watching? Would you like to see her like that? And they all unanimously, they said, no, never. Haan, to khud ki jo beti behen hain, unko wahan par dekhna nahi chahenge. लेकिन पैसा देख के दूसरे की बेटी बहन को जाके देखेंगे. And this is all going on in the name of entertainment. And then we go with candles and torches and, you know, why gang rapes are happening. So we are also to that extent party to that when we are not following our own culture and we are borrowing this, all this stuff, this, you know, nudity, obscenity, we are borrowing from where? From Hollywood, from all these, you know, Western media. And again in the name of entertainment. As that American girl, she said that in the name of entertainment, what is going on is where people mostly learn all the vices. Where teenagers are learning, you know, how to rape, how to kill, how to steal, how to cheat. Okay, at this point of time, I'd like to show you a small video, a very powerful one, kindly pay attention to that, which also reinforces the point, we can switch off the lights, of might get a little delayed, but this topic is very important, so just hold on, stay a few more minutes with us. So, kindly watch this video carefully and we'll then further discuss that our society is heading towards where. So, this video is based on a real incident which took place. Of course, the characters, nothing happened like that, but there is a real incident which took place. It's based on that. When in the name of modernism, in the name of advancement, we think that our children, if they know how to use a laptop or a cell phone, even when the child is so young, that's definitely might be some advancement, but you see the repercussions and the consequences. So this actually happened in one house. The brother and the sister are chatting and you saw what happened. So herein, don't think that just because I am not raping anyone, just because I am not stealing anyone's property, just because I am not murdering anyone, so I become a very good person and bad things will not happen to me. Or bad things should not happen to me just because I am not doing hardcore criminal activities. But even if we are not taking responsibility of what we are supposed to give to society, to ourselves, to our children, then we see such things happening and nothing happens then by chance. So therefore it is said, we can never break the laws of God. We can only break ourselves against His laws. So it's not God who is doing whatever is happening right now. We who are misusing our independence, our intelligence, and manufacturing such things and creating such societies wherein we are making our own lives intolerable and unlivable. So therefore, the question now comes to our mind is, what should I do? So it is said, our entire life is like preparation and death is the final exam. Whatever we have prepared all through our life, death will decide how we will appear for that exam. And hence, the three types of karma, since we are discussing on the law of karma, there is punya karma, which is pious activity, there is vikarma, which is impious activity, and then there is something called akarma, which is devotional activities, which is beyond pap and punya. And tomorrow, the final day, we are going to discuss that how to cut this law of karma in our life, how to go beyond pious and impious and perform akarma, which is devotional service, devotional activities directly for the pleasure of Lord Sri Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So tomorrow, the most important session again, how to perform a karma, practical application of Bhagavad Gita and whatever we have heard in our day-to-day life. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna. So since it's quite late tonight, so any questions you might have, we can either you can come to me personally, as I always announce, or else we can have tomorrow, beginning with question answers from today's session. We can begin tomorrow's session with question answers first and then carry on with the session tomorrow. So we won't have Kirtan again because it's 10:05 and quite late. And I hope that today's session, I was able to answer that very important question which we all always have. Why do bad things happen to good people? In fact, good things happen to good people only and bad things happen to bad people only. It's just a matter of time. Thank you all very much. Hare Krishna.